Welcome back to the Procrastination Podcast. I just want to start this episode by saying that I had a comment on my YouTube channel some weeks ago and I cannot get it out of my head. It wasn't a bad one or anything, but it was so funny. There was basically, like, I posted on YouTube, just like a normal post. It wasn't a video. And then someone had replied, like, it wasn't even related to the topic at all. I think I was saying something like, oh, I've got a new YouTube video out about how to pronounce da-da-da-da-da, whatever, okay? And, like, some random person, never, ever, ever seen them on my channel, comment before, just, like, came along out of nowhere and just commented, do you take cocaine before your podcasts? Oh, do you take cocaine before your podcasts? And I just found it so funny. And then someone had replied to that comment saying, fuck you. Like a full-blown argument between these two people, and I just found it so funny. And this conversation, this argument between these two strangers on the internet, has genuinely been like on my mind. It's been like a daily thought. I just found it so funny. I just wanted to share that. Disclaimer, I'm not on cocaine before I record a podcast episode. I did jokingly reply and say usually crack, isn't like crack cocaine, which is a like a mix of drugs. It's another drug, is crack. And yeah, I just laughed at how much those two were arguing. Like, this person was like claiming I was on drugs, and then the other person was like, fuck you, she's just a nice person, leave her alone, like taking it so seriously. So if you're the person who commented saying, are you on cocaine? I'm not on cocaine, all right? And to the person who stuck up for me, thank you. That's really sweet. And to the both of you, you two are hilarious. You were both so funny together. You should be able to see the conversation some more on my YouTube channel. Honestly, it was like about a month ago, but it's just been on my mind. And I kept meaning to mention it in like the next episodes of the podcast, and I just forgot until now. It's like jumped into my mind. So yeah, that's what I've started today's podcast episode off with, is addressing that comment. I just found it so funny. I really did. I love getting comments like this, and I don't know, seeing this difference in cultures, you know, where some people like have a joke with me, they banter, like, excuse my throat, by the way, today it's like really weird is my throat, but you know, you get some people come along, they make these jokes and whatever, and I understand the humor. We call it banter, where you kind of like almost insult each other when you're talking, but it's like joking and insulting. And then you get some people who maybe don't have that sort of humor in their language, and it becomes like a case of, you know, why are you attacking Emma? Why are you being like that? It's like on my Twitch channel, like the regular people that join, they kind of banter with me, they insult me in the chat, but I know that it's banter. I know it's a joke. But some people who come along who are maybe brand new to my Twitch streams, or maybe don't have this concept of banter in their language and in their culture, they think that I'm being attacked. That, you know, people are genuinely like hating on me in my live streams. And it's not the case. I mean, maybe some people do like disguise their hate as banter, but then it's like, well, why are you in my live stream? If you hate me that much, then why are you watching my videos? If you hate me that much, then why do you join my live streams, you know? Clearly they love me to some degree. If they watch my stuff secretly and leave these kind of comments. But anyway, that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about something completely different, which is how squeaky my chair is. It's not the topic of today, but if you hear some squeaks, then it is the chair. I don't know if you can hear it. That is the chair. I don't know if you could hear it, but if you could, then that was the chair. If you couldn't, then that would have been very awkward. But I want to talk about how learning Japanese has genuinely changed my life. And I know that sounds so dramatic. Like, what do you mean, Emma? Learning Japanese has changed your life. It's just a language. Blah, 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 blah. But it has. It really, really has. And I'll tell you why. So we'll start firstly with why I'm learning Japanese, because I get asked this a lot, and then it will make sense why it's changed my life later, okay? So let's start from the very beginning. Every few years, I like to learn a new language. So I like to learn, for example, I don't know, just languages that my students typically speak. So I've learned, I've started off with British Sign Language. So I started with that because I thought, well, oh God, do excuse my throat. It wasn't like this before. It's only because I've hit record. the moment I hit record, my voice was like, nope. Okay, should be okay now. If it carries on, I'll pause the podcast and then I'll go and cough somewhere. And then hopefully it will clear everything. But anyway, every few years I learn a new language, and it's to put me in the perspective of my students. So a lot of my students for a while were mostly Brazilian, Portuguese. So of course they could speak Portuguese. So it was interesting for me to learn Portuguese so I could understand the mistakes that they made and so on. And as I was saying before, the first language that I ever started with was British Sign Language. Now, we did do French in school. We had a teacher from Ireland. She was a massive bitch. I really didn't like her. She was really horrible. And it genuinely put me off French. not the people, not the country. I've been to France, had French students, had French friends. Have French friends. They're still my friends. I think, anyway, I hope so. And there's nothing wrong with them and the country. No problems at all. But the language, I swear to God, that teacher just killed any love I could have possibly had for the language. She was horrible. And this is why teachers are important, yeah? So that was what I started with, but I don't consider it my first language. I consider it British Sign Language, or BSL, my first language. My first second language, I should say. That's very confusing, but it's the second language I tried to learn properly. And I really enjoyed sign language. It was something completely different. It had so many similarities, yet so many differences between like spoken English and then sign language English, like British Sign Language. The grammar, like there's no kind of do and could, like there's no kind of little grammatical words, let's say. It's kind of taken into a very simple form, and then you use your hands to sign those forms, you know, those concepts and those messages. And I really enjoyed it. I remember my portfolio, I had to do like a video where I had to sing like a song, and then I had to like video it and then burn it onto a CD and then take it into uni and like hand it in this portfolio. That just shows how old I am, the fact that they had CDs. But yeah, we had to do it like that. And I enjoyed that a lot. In my second year of my degree, I went to Spain and I studied in Spain. And there I learned Spanish. A few months before going to Spain, I also took a breakthrough course in Spanish as well, which is like before beginner. So I was learning things like a cup of coffee, please, and, you know, all of this sort of stuff. And I went to Spain and started learning, started improving my Spanish, I should say. I had classes while I was there as well. And I also had Catalan lessons. And the experience I had with Catalan was not very good. I was one of the weakest in the class, if not the weakest in the class. My Spanish wasn't good enough at the time to kind of piggyback off my Spanish. So I really struggled. There were loads of Italians in the class, people that could speak like fluent Spanish. And then there was like me. And I really struggled. So I didn't have a very good experience with Catalan. And even though I continued with it because I was told it was an obligation to study it, and then I later found out it wasn't an obligation to study it. So as soon as I found out it wasn't an obligation, I dropped it. And don't be offended, Catalans, honestly. It's just, I didn't like the way, I liked the teacher, she was lovely, but I didn't like my classmates, and it was the classroom environment that put me off wanting to learn the language in that moment. So nothing to do with the language or anything. Because some people get so offended when you're like, no, I don't want to learn that language, or I found it difficult with that language. And they're like, oh, but that's my language. What do you mean you don't like my language? And they get so bloody offended over everything. And it's not the case at all. Like, don't be offended. It was just pointless being offended over over something like that. So yeah. Then the next language I learned was French. And I was, so yeah, I went back to French and I was doing French for a while. But the problem was, is that the teacher I had at the time, he wasn't a trained teacher, and I could definitely tell he, I don't know how to explain it, but his lessons weren't structured like how a qualified teacher would structure them. And I had to learn French for a French company that I was working for at the time. So I was teaching business English, like, through phone calls. Can you imagine learning English through a phone call? There is no chat box. There is no way that I can type something. There is no way that I can show you a picture of something. There's no way I can draw something. So I got very, very fucking good at explaining things. Because of that job. Like, I had to be very good at defining things in a simple way that the student could say, yep, got it, I understand what that means, and that I didn't need to use the chat box or a picture or something. Sometimes it was really hard, but yeah, so I worked with them for like a year or so. But the problem was, is sometimes I would call a student and it would go through to their receptionist or their assistant, and their assistant or receptionist didn't speak English, so I had to learn certain phrases like, hi, is Jean-Pierre there? He has an English lesson. But, you know, so I just needed to learn set phrases. Like, I didn't really care about the grammar and stuff like that. And I can still remember in my first lesson, we were sitting there, didn't know a word of French. I didn't remember anything from school. And we sat there and this teacher was just like, Emma, you have to speak French in this lesson. I was like, but how can I speak French if I don't know French? He's like, well, you have to try. I was like, well, how can I try to speak French if I don't know French? You know, it makes no sense. There's just no logic to what he was saying. And he said something along the lines of, okay, I'd like you to say, the pen is on the table. Okay, a phrase that no one will ever say in their life. It's like, you know, the classic textbook, like, the cat is on the table. Like, no one has ever said the cat is on the table. This is a pen. No one has ever said this is a pen. Okay, but anyway, he put this pen on the table and he said, I want you to say in French, the pen is on the table. So, okay, how do you say the pen? How do you say on? How do you say is? And, sorry, I got that the wrong way around. Clearly I don't know. Don't even know the grammar. How do you say pen? How do you say is? How do you say on? And how do you say table? Like, I literally had to ask him how to translate every word because I had no freaking clue. And he wanted me to make sentences in French and speak French from the first lesson. And it just wasn't going to work. It was my first lesson. I didn't know shit about French. I didn't know a single thing. So that also kind of put me off. I really struggled to learn because I felt a lot of pressure from him to speak French when I didn't know how to speak French, you know? It's like someone coming up to you and saying, right, I want you to speak Arabic, and you have never spoken Arabic in your life. Like, you can't do it because you don't know how to say anything. It's so dumb. It really is. But anyway, he was a nice guy, but just not good at teaching, not very patient either. He would very, very quickly, like if I was struggling with something, he would just like jump in, and yeah, there wasn't much patience. But nice guy, like no problems with him, just not a good teacher in my opinion. Or I should say, he wasn't the teacher for me. Maybe he's a good teacher for someone, but he wasn't a good teacher for me. And after that, I then started learning German. And I had a fantastic German teacher, complete opposite of the French teacher that I had. Amazing teacher. You could definitely tell that she was qualified. She knew exactly what she was teaching, how she was explaining it. The lessons were structured very well. She didn't rely heavily on the textbook. She focused on a very communicative method, which is what I use. And it really, really works. You know, whether people love or hate the communicative method, like, I think we can all agree that it does work and it does get people speaking. Not like the French teacher did with me, but definitely like the way the German teacher did it, like she did it very well. So I was learning German for a while. So I'd gone from like Romance languages like Spanish, Catalan, French to a Germanic language, and it was like, whoa, what the hell? You're telling me that the verb always goes in the second position, and if there's a second verb, it goes at the end of the sentence. Why does it go at the end? I've got to wait until the end of the sentence to find out what the person is saying. Like, it was just a very interesting experience to see everything completely flipped around and learn a new language, completely different language. I know it sounds strange, but I'm sure many of you will know what I mean. So yeah, started learning German. I got to like a kind of A2 B1 level with German, and then I stopped. I just became too busy. I was doing my master's and I stopped. And I still remember little bits of German. It definitely like comes back to me in moments where I need it, but German also has actually really helped me with Japanese. This is so weird, but German has really helped me with Japanese. It sounds like they're not connected at all, but they do have a lot of similarities. So sometimes when I'm learning things in Japanese, I kind of think, oh, hold on, that's like in German. And, you know, it helps me remember. It's so weird. And then the language after that I learned was Portuguese. So I went back to a Romance language. And I felt it was an absolute breeze. Like, it was too easy. I felt like I was cheating because I already knew Spanish, and I know Spanish to a decent level where I can speak and communicate, have a conversation. Like, I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I'm working on it. My goal is to become more confident with Spanish. And I then started using that to help me learn Portuguese. There was a lot of similarities. A lot of people think that they're pretty much the same language. They are similar, but they are also very, very different. Like, they are very clearly two separate languages. Someone said to me when I was learning Portuguese, like, isn't that like a dialect of Spanish? And I was like, what? Isn't it so weird that so many people are like, isn't Portuguese a dialect of Spanish? But if you say to someone, oh, I'm learning Italian, they would never say, isn't that a dialect of French? Like, people just don't do it. Like, so many people didn't recognize that Portuguese was just this separate thing. And I was also really shocked when I told people that I was going to Brazil, because I went for like a week to Rio. So many people were like, why are you learning Portuguese? Don't they speak Spanish? I was like, what the fuck? Just like open Wikipedia and you will see that they speak Portuguese there. Like, the language is Portuguese. I'm sure there are people who speak Spanish there, but it's not the language, you know, the country. And also, so many people as well. Not so many people, a few people. They said to me, don't they speak Brazilian? And I was like, okay. What's Brazilian? Like, I don't know. It's like, what language is Brazilian? But yeah, people were very confused about Brazil. It's weird. Some people are very strange sometimes. But anyway, so that gives you an idea of the languages that I've learned and everything and why I've been learning them. So German really helped me, like, just explore a different language altogether. Like, I went from a Romance language to a Germanic language, but it was still very safe because there are many similarities between English and German. So it's not like going from English to Mandarin, let's say, which are completely different. But when I was learning Portuguese, which was the last language I was learning, I thought to myself, what will be my next language? Because I was learning Portuguese to kind of understand my students and stuff. I understood the fundamentals. I could speak Portuguese. I could give little presentations in Portuguese. I lived in Lisbon for a month and I did an intensive course there. It was amazing. And I thought, what could I do next? Like, I need a challenge. Portuguese just wasn't much of a challenge for me. I learned it too quickly. I need a language that feels like I'm learning a language. So I wanted to choose something that was completely different to what I'd already studied. So I didn't want a Germanic language and I didn't want a Romance language. I wanted something completely different. So I was thinking, what languages am I most attracted to? Like, what languages am I interested in learning? Because you've got to have an interest in learning a language to be able to start it. Like, I get so many people saying like, oh, why don't you learn my language? Like, I get so many people asking me to learn Persian. And no offense, guys, but I just have no interest in learning Persian. And don't be offended by that. Don't be offended that someone doesn't want to learn your language. Like, it's cool if they don't want to learn it. It's okay not to be interested in it. I've met people who have no interest in speaking English. And I'm not offended by it because it's what they want. You know, you can't be offended by what someone is interested in and not interested in. It's like me wanting to learn tennis and you don't want to learn how to play tennis. And I ask you, you know, do you want to learn how to play tennis? I love tennis. I'm so passionate about tennis. And you say, no, I'm not interested in tennis. And then I get offended. Can you imagine? Like, that is so crazy. And some people, they get like genuinely offended that I don't want to learn their language. But, you know, whatever. Those people, you can't control how people feel. If they want to feel like that, it's fine. This is more of just like, if you are one of those people, like, why are you getting offended? And stop being offended. There are other things to be offended over that are more important, trust me. So I tried to pick some languages that I was interested in. So there was Japanese, Korean, Russian, Arabic, and Mandarin. Mandarin Chinese. Okay. So I had these five different languages, and then I thought, well, I can't learn all five of them at the same time. It's not very wise. So I kind of whittled them down. This is a really good phrase to use, to whittle down. When you have like a number of options and then you try to decrease those options, okay? So you can like whittle down job applications, you can whittle down CVs, you can whittle down options. It's like you reduce them by going through a sort of process of elimination until you're left with however many of those things you need. So I whittled down my options. And it came to, like, Arabic. I thought, the problem with Arabic is that how it's written is very different to how it's spoken. And there are so many different dialects. So if I learnt the kind of Arabic that's spoken in Egypt, and then I went to Syria, or I went to Jordan, it would be completely different. So I thought, well, that's going to be too hard. I'm not going to do that. That just sounds like too much work, okay? And I don't have any students who speak Arabic at the moment, right? This is what I was thinking at that time, okay? I don't have any Arabic students, so it's not going to help me in this moment. Then I thought Russian. Russian is a good one. Russian is a really good one. I have a few Russian students as well, and I like the sound of Russian. I think Russian sounds really cool. I'm going to leave that as a possible contender. Korean, yep, is good, but I don't feel I need it right now. Maybe later. Like, I am genuinely thinking of learning Korean next or sometime in the future. Russian, for sure, I want to learn in the future. Mandarin Chinese. I didn't have any Chinese students at that moment when I was deciding. So again, I thought, well, I don't need Mandarin right now. I'm going to leave it and I'll go back to it in the future. So that left me with Japanese. And with Japanese, I was like, oh, but Japanese looks really hard. And, you know, you've got three different alphabets. Like, that's really, really fucking hard if you think about that, to learn three alphabets. But then I tried to convince myself, well, I did convince myself, what's the difference between learning hiragana, katakana? I'm not even going to touch kanji, but hiragana and katakana are two alphabets that they use. Hiragana is used for Japanese words, katakana is used for foreign words, okay? Kanji is used more for concepts, and it's based on the Chinese characters, okay? So I didn't see much of a difference between learning learning the alphabet in English, let's say, you've got the uppercase and then you've got the lowercase. Yeah, they've got the same sounds, but you've still got to learn how to write them. So you've still got like two alphabets in English. So I mean like French and Spanish and German and so on. They've all got the same alphabet and you've got to learn how to write both of them to be able to read them. So that made it a little bit less intimidating. And like kind of later on, like when I started learning kanji and stuff, I mean, that's a completely different thing as kanji when it's based on the Chinese symbols. But I was very intimidated by Japanese, very intimidated. And I thought to myself, fucking perfect. This is the one. This is gonna be the language that's gonna destroy me. Like, I want a language to just, like, be so hard that it will destroy me. I mean, I could have gone with Arabic. And because that sounded like it would have caused quite a lot of headaches. But with that one, I mean, with all the different dialects and ways of speaking, I think it would genuinely have been a bit of a headache. And Japanese, I had some Japanese students at the time, so it would have been really, really helpful. And I have Japanese students now, so it's still really helpful. So, I set myself the task of learning Japanese because I thought this is gonna destroy me. Like, I want a language that's really difficult, completely different to English. And I also noticed as well, like when I was doing my research, I had a look for like the hardest languages for English learners, sorry, for English speakers to learn. And Japanese was the top one. Like, not even Mandarin was higher, but Japanese was the highest one for English speakers. And I was like, this is it. This is the language that I'm going to learn. I want torture, I want pain, and, you know, all the bad stuff. Because I want to put myself in the perspective of someone who's learning a language that's completely different to their first language or completely different to other languages they'd learn. So they can't just piggyback off other languages. Like with Spanish and Portuguese, when I was learning Portuguese, I could piggyback off my Spanish. When I was learning Catalan, I could piggyback off my Spanish. When I was learning German, I could piggyback off English a little bit. So those, you've got like a safety net, but with Japanese, there's no safety net. There's no safety net at all. The grammar's completely different. But then you do start to spot similarities. And many people will say to you that the more languages you learn, the easier it is to learn languages. And it's true. The reason why it's easier is because you start to form connections between the languages. So I started to see similarities in Japanese to Spanish, believe it or not. I saw similarities between German and Japanese, English and Japanese. And I was like, you know what? This language is not as scary as I thought. And of course, I'm not sitting here like, oh, I'm now fluent in Japanese. That's not the point at all of this. But what I'm saying is that I started off being super intimidated by this. And I told myself like, oof, I don't know if I can do this. This is rock hard, is this? Like, this is actually a really hard language. And I've got nothing to rely on here. No safety net of another language that I know. But you start to adapt. Okay, and this is where I want to talk about how Japanese has changed my life, because it has changed my perspective on everything. I feel a little bit emotional talking about this. I don't think I'll cry, but I do feel a bit emotional talking about it, because Japanese like genuinely has changed my life. I was too scared to do certain things. And I kind of think to myself now, well, fuck, if I can learn Japanese, one of the hardest languages for an English speaker to learn, I can do that. I can do it. I can fucking do it. And it doesn't matter. I'll give you some examples, like real life examples. I started going bouldering. So if you're not sure what bouldering is, don't worry, because I had no freaking clue either. It's basically indoor rock climbing, but you don't have the ropes and everything. There's just like a wall of like these colored rocks and stones, and you climb up them, and it's maybe like 10 foot high or something, probably a little bit more, but it's no, it's definitely going to be like over 10 foot, but it's quite high. Okay, it's this wall, but if you fall, you're not going to die. Like, it's not like huge walls for rock climbing. I can jump down and I would be fine. But I started doing that, and I would get so scared. Like, it's really not even that high. Anyone who's been bouldering before knows that it's not that high. But when I started bouldering, I was so scared, and I would get halfway, and I'd be like, "Oh no, I can't do it!" And I would get scared, and I would climb back down. And my boyfriend would be like, "Emma, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you nearly had it. You literally just had to go up by like one or two and stretch, and you could reach the top, and that's it." But my mind, honestly, my mind was just like, "Nope, you can't do this. You can't do this, Emma. You're scared now. You're scared. You feel scared now. You got to climb down, Emma, because you feel scared." And then I would get to the bottom, like I would climb back down. I'll get to the bottom and I would feel so shit because it's like, no, I know I can do this, but I just get so scared climbing up. Like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I kept telling myself, I can't do it. I can't do this. It's too difficult. And because I was telling myself, I can't do this, it's too difficult or it's too high or whatever, it's too exhausting or something, I'm too tired, all these negative things, I wasn't able to do it. So, with Japanese, not once, my Japanese teacher can tell you this, if she's listening, hello, she kind of, she helps me with Japanese, she will tell you that I don't think I've ever said, wow, that's really hard, or, oh, I can't do that, I really, really try and take that vocabulary out when I'm learning a language. I'm doing the same now with Spanish, and I've struggled for years, absolutely years. I've been learning Spanish for like 8 years now, okay? And I still have problems with the fucking subjunctive. Like, I just can't seem to grasp the subjunctive. And I started to shift my mentality thinking, if I can learn Japanese, I can learn Spanish. Spanish is way easier than Japanese. Like, it's not that hard compared to Japanese. If I can learn hiragana, katakana, and understand kanji, if I can understand Japanese grammar, if I can read these little squiggly lines on a page that meant nothing to me in January this year, I can do anything. And I just started to tell myself that more, and it's incredible how much I have been able to learn and remember with Spanish. I started to understand the subjunctive more because I've stopped telling myself it's hard. The subjunctive isn't hard. Like, that's what I kept telling myself. The subjunctive is easy. I can learn the subjunctive, blah, blah, blah. Same with Japanese. Again, I never say, this is too hard. Oh, Japanese is so difficult. I've never once said Japanese is difficult. Unless it's to say, like an example, like, oh, I think Japanese is difficult or something. It's not what I said. But I've never once said Japanese is difficult. I've always said it's a challenge, but it's easy to learn. Like, I just changed my mindset. And I started doing more research into the power of affirmations. And before you just kind of switch this podcast off and you're like, oh, fucking hell, Emma, affirmations, like all of this kind of, you know, spiritual stuff, blah, blah, blah. Oh, the world will bring what I deserve. No, this sort of stuff. And I get the crystals out and the fucking tarot cards and whatever. It's not going to be anything like that. Please don't worry. I'm going to do this like in the perspective, like from the perspective and in a kind of context of language learning, okay? Because this has helped me so fucking much. I cannot stress how much this has helped me, and the fact that it's helping me, like, I want it to also help you. I really, really do. I also forgot to mention, and I haven't told anyone else this apart from my boyfriend a couple of friends, my Japanese teacher, and now you guys. Like, I've not mentioned this to anyone else yet, but because of Japanese, I've become less intimidated by things. So I've become less intimidated by bouldering, you know, going climbing, like rock climbing and stuff. I know my limits as well, right? Like, I'm not going to look at a mountain and be like, I'm going to climb that, you know, I can learn Japanese, I can climb that mountain. No, no, no. Like, I'm not dumb. I know my limits. But, you know, now I kind of tell myself, like, I can do this. I have the strength to do this. I can climb this. I'm going to reach this. I'm going to reach the top, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, yeah, the thing I wanted to mention, I've wanted to learn how to code for a very long time. When I was younger, I used to kind of play on this website, and you could make a page on the website, and you could create, how do I explain it? Like, you could design the page using HTML, HTML and CSS. I don't think anything else was supported back then, because it was like, wow, it's got to be like 18, nearly 20 years ago. And I remember kind of looking at some people's pages and thinking, wow, that's amazing. I want to learn how to do that. So I started to teach myself how to code, just like basic HTML, CSS, this sort of stuff. And I would make these little pages. I would go onto other people's pages, have a look at the code, and, you know, kind of see how they did certain things. And I kind of taught myself how to code. And then I stopped. And I really regret that. I really regret not continuing with coding when I was younger. But, because maybe now I wouldn't be doing this podcast. I would be, I don't know, a website designer or something. Who knows? Or a master hacker. Who knows? But I started coding recently again, because I wanted to get back into that. And again, something else that stopped me from going back into coding was, well, it's too much. You know, it's going to take too long to learn. It's a whole new language, which it is. It's just not a language like French, German, Japanese. It's a computer language. Yeah, it's still language that you're learning. And it's just going to be a long journey. Like, I could feel it was going to be difficult. So I never did it. But because of Japanese, I've told myself, you know what, Emma? You ought to start learning how to code again. And you're not going to find it difficult. You're going to find it easy to remember stuff. You're going to find it easy to pick it up. Because for you, it will be just like recapping what you did like 20 years ago. And you know, it's not something to be intimidated by. So I started learning how to code. Like, very, very recently. I'm talking literally like this week. Like, it is Thursday that I am recording this. Thursday, the 23rd of September. And I started learning a little bit on Sunday night, but I started properly on Monday. Like, that's how long. So maybe in like a month's time, I'll be like, you know what, fuck this, coding is not for me. But I remember enjoying it when I was younger. So if I enjoyed it when I was younger, then maybe I still enjoy it now. We'll see. But it would be really cool as well. Like, another reason I'd like to learn about coding more is so I can do my own website. I would also, if possible in the future, like, I mean, I could also get into website design and have like a side business where I do my teaching, but I also design websites and stuff like that. I know other English teachers who are always looking for website designers. So can you imagine if me as a little old English teacher, you know, could also be like, hey, well, despite being an English teacher, I can also, you know, design websites. I can do one for you. And sabotage their website, sabotage the competition. I'm joking, I would never do that. I'm not that kind of person. But yeah. So let's go back to the affirmations thing. And I just want to talk about affirmations. So firstly, what is an affirmation? It's basically a phrase that you tell yourself to affirm something, to make something very clear in your head. I mean, it would actually be quite interesting to see what the definition for it is in the dictionary. So an affirmation is the action or process of affirming something. That's literally what I just said. It's almost like I'm a dictionary, isn't it? It's almost like I'm an English teacher that used to work for a French company doing telephone English lessons, and I had to learn almost dictionary definition-like ways to explain things. So to affirm something, by definition, is to state emphatically or publicly, to declare one's support for something, make a formal declaration, this sort of thing. Offer emotional support or encouragement, it's kind of like this. So these are affirmations that we're talking about. They're things that you say to yourself that will kind of help build confidence in yourself, to believe in those things that you are saying. So I did a little bit of research into how affirmations work and what you should do and what you shouldn't do when you're creating affirmations. So you can either say these affirmations or you can write these affirmations. Bonus points if you can write them in English, but you don't have to. In fact, I think if you write these affirmations in your native language, they will stick better, because what we're doing here is not improving your English. What we're doing here is changing your mentality to help you to be able to improve your English and other areas of your life and things you want to learn. So you can write them or you can just say them. I like to write them, but it's only when I feel this need to write them. So maybe I have many things buzzing around in my head, and it really helps me personally to take my notebook and just write some affirmations down in the notebook, and then I can see everything very clearly, and it helps get everything organized, and I don't get overwhelmed by all these, you know, random affirmations. But you can say them. If you've got like one or two affirmations, you can just say them and just remember them. The key thing when you're writing or saying an affirmation, though, is that the language is positive. Every single word has to be positive. So instead of saying, for example, I don't find English difficult, okay? You've got don't, which is a negative, and difficult, which is also a negative word, right? I don't find English difficult? Yeah, that's what I said. I don't find English difficult. Instead, change that so you're using more positive language. So instead, you say, I find English easy. I learn English effortlessly. English is easy for me to learn. So instead of using these like, don't do this and it's difficult or it's boring or whatever, like, I don't think English is boring. Instead, you can say, I find English fun, exciting, and enjoyable. English is exciting for me to learn. I enjoy learning English. Okay? And you're kind of programming your brain this way, and it's so powerful. Like, there are books written on this sort of stuff. It's interesting. So make sure you're using positive language. Next thing, make sure it's quite short. So don't write like a full paragraph of affirmations. Keep it to just like a very short sentence. Super, super short. Make sure as well that you're using language like I, me, and my. So it's all in the first person. And as well, make sure you're writing it in the present tense. So let's say, for example, you want to speak English fluently, okay? You could, instead of saying, I want to speak English fluently, you would say, I speak English fluently. I speak English confidently. And you're using the present tense as though you're kind of writing like you are fluent and confident and happy about your English now in this moment. And this is something important, is that you also put emphasis on feelings instead of actions. So, for example, with Japanese and Spanish and so on, instead of saying, like, I learn, what is it, like, I know, I'm trying to think, like, I know Spanish, okay, something like that. Instead, you could say, I feel confident when I speak Spanish. I feel happy when I speak Spanish.
these sorts of things. So you're focusing on those emotions. And what you'll find will happen is when you do start to speak English or whatever language it is you're learning, you will kind of have this trigger, like something will kind of trigger in your brain where you won't feel that anxiety and stuff anymore. So let's imagine you were really scared to speak English before. You always felt nervous, okay? You're writing your affirmations. Of course, you're not going to write, "I don't feel nervous when I speak English." You're not going to say that. You're going to say, "I feel confident when I speak English." So when you start to speak English, you feel confident. There's that trigger, like your brain has kind of switched. As well, be really realistic with your affirmations. So don't say, for example, I sound like a native speaker from London with an RP accent or something, because like really it's not gonna happen. I'm sorry, folks. There's like a very small percentage of people who end up changing and adopting another accent. It is possible, but really realistically, like, I'm not here to blow smoke up your ass and sell you these lies, you know, like the kind of like the snake oil guy who's like, "Oh, buy the snake oil," you know, and you know, and it cures all your problems and stuff. Like, I'm not here to do that. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not that kind of teacher, because spreading bullshit like this to you guys is not going to help me, and it's not going to help you. Yeah, it might help me sell a few courses, but at the end of the day, I would rather know that I've not affected someone's mental health and I've not lied to them than try and make a few £100 from selling some extra courses. Do you know what I mean? My morals kick in and I could never do that. But just make sure that they're believable. They're things that you can genuinely achieve. But also don't be too limiting on yourself. I mean, you could also do limitation. You could do affirmations related to money, let's say. So you could say something like, "I earn 6 figures a month. I live in a mansion," blah, blah, blah. Like, these sorts of things, they are possible. They are definitely possible, but they're going to take some work. But they're not completely unrealistic. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that's completely unrealistic. Like, "I am a tree." Like, you can't be a tree. You know what I mean? I'm sure you get what I mean. Also, be super specific. Vague statements get vague results. So vague is the opposite of specific. You got specific and the opposite is vague. So make sure your statements are very, very specific. Don't just say, I am confident or something like that. Say, "I am confident when I speak English," or something like that. Like, be specific. Keep it memorable. So this kind of goes back to like, keep it to just a few words, keep it to like a sentence or something, not too long. Keep it memorable, something that will stick in your mind and kind of act as a trigger. If you've got to, you know, memorize a paragraph, that paragraph is not going to work very well as a trigger. So keep it short, keep it memorable. And most importantly, the final tip is to repeat it. Keep repeating them. What you'll find you'll do as well is, you know, you'll write these affirmations down, or you'll memorize the one or two of them that you have in your head, and you will say them to yourself every day, okay? Literally just like take a minute out of your day, 30 seconds, just to write them down or go through them in your head, say them aloud, look in the mirror, look at yourself and say them aloud, tell the person in the mirror, tell yourself these things that they are and that they're going to be. And repeat them. And then what you'll find is when you are in those moments, so let's take the situation where I speak Spanish confidently. When I'm in a situation where I need to speak Spanish, I remember, like, I speak Spanish confidently. And then my confidence is boosted. It's incredible. When was it? It was yesterday. It was just last night. I went to like a Japanese kind of conversation meetup thing. Bear in mind, my Japanese is really, really basic. But we played this game with like some story cubes. So they're little cubes, little dice that have pictures on them, and you need to make pictures with what's on these cubes. And I said, oh, I'll play. And a few people kind of said, yeah, but Emma, you've got to do it all in Japanese. Are you sure you can do it? Like, yeah, yeah, I can do it. Yeah, of course I can. And I kind of joked and I said, like, oh, you have no confidence in me. You know, I've got more confidence in myself than you have of me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was kind of joking about it because they weren't being serious. Like, they weren't being horrible, okay? They were joking as well. But, I mean, a person who has very limiting and limited beliefs may look at that and think, oh, actually, yeah, my Japanese isn't that good. I'll just sit this one out. I don't think I'll play. But you know what? I played that game and I had a lot of fun and I learned a lot of stuff and I was so happy with myself. Like, I was walking back from the Japanese meetup fucking buzzing. Buzzing is like when you've got a lot of energy, when you're high on energy. I was buzzing because I'd been speaking Japanese for like the past hour and I was so happy. And of course I wasn't speaking solid Japanese for an hour. Like, I don't have the grammar and vocabulary to be able to do that. But I would always ask, like, how do you say this? And da-da-da-da-da, all of this sort of stuff. And I felt so happy because the affirmations that I'm doing for Japanese are working. They are truly working. And I never thought I'd be able to do that before. But now I kind of tell myself, like, I'm learning Japanese. It's like the hardest language for English speakers. If I can learn Japanese, I can do anything. I'm confident when I speak Japanese. I learn Japanese easily. Japanese is an easy language for me to remember. I remember Japanese very well. I can speak Japanese without feeling... sorry, that's a negative one. I can speak Japanese with confidence. I was going to say without feeling embarrassed, but then you've got without is a negative, embarrassed is a negative, yeah? So you've got to change it, yeah? With confidence. These sorts of things, Jesus, they work so well. It's like there's a flip in my brain. It really is. So I'd really, really like you to do the same. If you feel that you are in a situation where you tell yourself, oh, I can't do this. It's too hard. I can't do it. It's too difficult. English isn't easy. I can't improve. I can't do that. I can't say that sound. I can't learn this. Then you're not going to do it because you're already limiting yourself. You have complete control over one thing in this world, and it is your mind. You have 100% complete control over your mind, okay? You can change the thoughts that go in and out of it. And you can definitely rewire and reprogram your way of thinking. Instead of thinking things are difficult, I can't do that. Well, no, you can. You can do it. You just need to change your perspective and change your mentality. Mentality is so, so, so important with language learning. You'll find that many people who are successful polyglots, they're multilingual, bilingual, whatever, they all have one thing in common, and it's that they believe that they can learn another language. You know, they don't tell themselves from the beginning, I can't do this. Look at French with me. I told myself, French is difficult because this teacher is making me difficult. Bam, I limited myself. I limited myself right there. I told myself, I can't learn this. It's too difficult. And what happened? I didn't learn it. I found French too difficult and I didn't learn it. Yet Japanese, what the fuck, is meant to be one of the hardest languages. And I was having a conversation in Japanese last night. I was telling a story in Japanese. Bear in mind, it wasn't, you know, complete Japanese. Like, it wasn't completely in Japanese, but you get the point. You get the idea that I'm trying to say. For your homework, after listening to this podcast episode, and I really, really, really hope you have listened to the end of this episode, because I genuinely think it's one of the most important episodes you will ever listen to. I would like you to create some affirmations. Okay? You're very welcome as well to post them in your Instagram stories. Tag me. Okay? Make sure as well that your profile isn't private, because for some reason I cannot see it if you tag me in your stories and your profile is private. It doesn't even appear that you have posted something. So for your homework, create some affirmations and put them in your notebooks, put them wherever, or feel free to put them in your stories on Instagram and tag me, because I would love to see the affirmations that you are using. Maybe I can learn some affirmations from you. I may steal some of your affirmations and think, you know what, that's a really nice one. I like what they said there. I'm going to steal that one and I'm going to use it, and that's going to help me. You don't have to post it. Of course, you can just write it in a notebook or something, but I would still love to see them. So I'm going to end today's episode there, and I genuinely hope it's helped you. It has been an episode where I've really opened up about something and I would like to think it would help someone. You know, I really want this episode to help someone, and if anyone is having any limited beliefs, I really hope that by the end of this episode, those limiting beliefs will vanish soon for you. So enjoy the rest of your day, your week, your whatever, your morning, afternoon. And don't forget, tag me on Instagram if you create some affirmations. I would love to share them and take a look at them. And I will speak to you in the next episode. Bye-bye.